live from Las Vegas, Nevada, at the KSHP studios. This is the Michelle Mortensen Show with your host, Michelle Mortensen, the fresh and fearless voice of talk radio, taking on the liberal media, the political hacks, and so much more. It's time to nix the narrative and get to the truth the way only Michelle can. Now, here's your host, the fresh, fiery, and factual voice of politics and news, eight-time Emmy winner, Michelle Mortensen.
Good Monday morning, everyone. The Michelle Mortensen Show kicking off here for you today. And boy, what a show do we have for you, because like every other day, it seems that hypocrites abound in America, and these politicians love to tell us what we can and cannot do. But the nice thing that I'm seeing right now that I haven't seen over the past couple of months is I'm seeing more and more Americans saying, wait a minute, not anymore. I'm not going to take it. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight for my business. I'm going to fight for my livelihood. I'm going to fight for my future. And I'm sure many of you are fighting as well. Remember, as always, if you'd like to be a part of the show, the number to call 702-221-7283. We've got Justin taking your calls today, and we'll try to get you in on the show. But let's talk about restaurant and bar owners finally saying enough is enough. I'm sure many of you have seen this video that was going viral throughout the weekend from the Pineapple Hill Saloon and Bar in Los Angeles. If you haven't seen it, I'm going to show it to you right now. It is shocking. Look at this restaurant owner and what she has to say.
So this is my place, the Pineapple Hill Grill and Saloon. If you go to my page, you can see all the work I did for outdoor dining, for tables being 7 feet apart. And I come in today because I'm organizing a protest, and I came in to get stuff for that. And I walk into my parking lot, and obviously Mayor Garcetti has approved this, has approved this being set up for, this being set up for a movie company. I'm losing everything. Everything I own is being taken away from me. And they set up a movie company right next to my outdoor patio, which is right over here. And people wonder why I'm protesting and why I have had enough. They have not given us money, and they have shut us down. We cannot survive. My staff cannot survive. Look at this. Tell me that this is dangerous, but right next to me as a slap in my face, that's safe. This is safe 50 feet away. This is dangerous. Mayor Garcetti and Gavin Newsom is responsible for every single person that doesn't have unemployment, that does not have a job, and all the businesses that are going under. And we need your help. We need somebody to do something about this.
Amen. We absolutely do. And what I love is that her video is kind of kicking off people finally saying enough is enough, because that was blatant disregard. I mean, how can she have her bar and restaurant have an outdoor patio that looks the way it does, that she has spent tons of money to put together so that she could keep her business open? They shut her down because, of course, Garcetti says you're not even allowed to walk outside. I mean, she was violating the law right there walking, because you're supposed to live in fear and stay in your home until Mayor Garcetti tells you it's safe. And then you see a movie crew. Well, because they're a movie crew, and because they're union, and because that's how LA makes its money, oh my gosh, they get to have a setup right there so that the actors and actresses that we love so much can go ahead and eat. It is blatant and disgusting hypocrisy. And what's going on in California should turn your stomach. It should make you sick. By the way, I think Mayor Garcetti's comment, his response to her and this video, this viral video that she made, is going to make you sick. So what did Garcetti say in response? He said, my heart goes out to Ms. Marsden and the whole and all the workers at the Pineapple Hill Saloon who have to comply with state and county public health restrictions and close outdoor dining. okay. No one likes these restrictions, but I do support them as our hospital ICU beds fill to capacity and cases have increased by 500%. We must stop the virus before it kills thousands more Angelonians. Okay, here's the problem though. When does stopping people's businesses, when does stopping outdoor dining, when does any of that do anything to stop COVID? How does that do anything to give us more beds in the ICU? I believe hospitals are overcrowded. I don't deny facts and figures. The hospitals are overcrowded. The hospitals are at capacity. Not necessarily with COVID, but they are at capacity. So why aren't we filling convention centers filled with beds so that there can be more hospitals? Why aren't we calling in the National Guard? Why aren't we turning to the federal government saying we need help in this state of emergency? Give us more medical care. Help, help, help. No. Instead, we're just destroying people's lives. We're just destroying people's businesses. We're just destroying people's futures. Now, you're going to love this. You're going to love this because there is actually no scientific evidence backing up anything Garcetti or Newsom has done. And if you, for those of you who dare watch this show and say, yes, there's tons of data, I want proof, don't let you say, Michelle, I'm going to give you proof right here. So earlier today, Admiral Giron of the Health and Human Services, he pushed back on everything that was happening. He said the evidence just isn't there to support such a novel coronavirus prohibitions from a public health standpoint. The evidence clearly does not support limitations on things like outdoor dining, particularly that are spaced outdoor bars. He then went on to say, you know, the evidence just isn't there. So this is what irritates me about liberals, about Democrats, and about everyone who lives in fear for coronavirus. They are the first to yell at you, facts, 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 science, 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 data, data, data. But everything they believe doesn't have any data behind it. No, Michelle, I was watching Saturday Night Live and that guy from the King of Staten Island who used to date Ariana Grande, he said it was there's facts. Oh, good. I'm glad that you get your news from Saturday Night Live because I'm going to choose to get my scientific facts from actual doctors, from one of the directors of the Health and Human Services of this country. I'm going to look at real science. You know, the real science that tells us that there's only two genders. You know, that science that tells us that a baby has a heartbeat within 8 days. Yeah. That science that so many liberals refuse to acknowledge and want to pretend doesn't exist. You know, that same science that they refuse to acknowledge when people are dying of overdoses and dying from suicide because of these overly long permanent shutdowns. Now, you may be wondering, why aren't more people fighting back? Well, I gotta tell you, people are starting to say enough is enough because they're tired of the hypocrisy. Look at this video from the sheriff of Riverside County in California, who quite honestly just said, enough is enough. I'm done with you freaking hypocrites and liars. Watch this. It's genius.
Ball recently learned of the new regional approach to combating COVID-19 and the pending closure and stay-at-home orders from our governor. We were also told there was a potential he would be withholding federal and state funding from counties who did not enforce the orders. Ironically, it wasn't that long ago our same governor loudly and publicly argued how wrong it was for the President of the United States to withhold federal funding from states not complying with federal laws. The dictatorial attitude toward California residents while dining in luxury, traveling, keeping his business open, and sending his kids to in-person private schools is very telling about his attitude toward California residents, his feelings about the virus, and it is extremely hypocritical. These closures and stay-at-home orders are flat-out ridiculous. Mm-hmm. The metrics used for closures are unbelievably faulty and are not representative of true numbers and are disastrous for Riverside County. When the medical field is so split about this virus, it might be time to employ a little common sense. Keeping money and support from our hospitals, who are struggling with normal, seasonal increases in patients, coupled with COVID-19 patients, is irresponsible. It appears part of the new goal is to shift attention away from his and others' personal behavior with a do-as-I-say, not-as-I-do attitude by turning public opinion against California sheriffs. He is expecting us to arrest anyone violating these orders, cite them and take their money, close their businesses, make them stay in their homes, and take away their civil liberties, or he will punish all of us. I believe that all jobs are essential to someone. Mm-hmm. Leaders do not threaten, attempt to intimidate, or cause fear. Bullies do. As has been our position from the beginning of this pandemic, the Sheriff's Department is asking and expecting Riverside County residents to act responsibly and do what they can to protect themselves and their family from contracting the virus. Wear your mask and practice social distancing.
And there you go. There you go. You finally have a sheriff saying, let's just utilize common sense. Let's just quit saying that this person's essential and this person isn't. Let's quit telling people that they can't make money. Let's all let everyone use common sense. The more we start seeing members of law enforcement, the more we start seeing business owners, the more we start seeing politicians stand up and say enough is enough, the more we will see change. But don't hear what I'm not saying. There is a huge, huge, huge risk to standing up and saying something. There absolutely is a huge risk. That huge risk is something that we have seen play out over the last couple of days in the great state of New York. We're over in Staten Island. We have the owners of Max Pub who said, you know what? I'm sick and tired of this. A block down from me around the railroad tracks, there can be bars open, but my bar is closed because Dictator Cuomo said it had to be because de Blasio doesn't have any guts. That's the word I'll use because this is, you know, broadcast on TV and radio and I can't use the other one. He doesn't have any guts to do what needs to be done. So he said, you know what, in Seattle, if they could create a chop zone, if they could create a Chaz, well, then my bar is going to be a Chaz zone. Well, guess what? The cops have come and they have arrested him for trespassing on his own property. Last night, sheriff's deputies came and arrested him. And there was some sort of altercation where allegedly he may have hit a police officer with the hood of his car. He says that, you know, it's only an ankle sprain. The sheriff's deputies are saying, oh no, he's got two broken legs. But we are seeing that this person who is fighting back for his bar in Staten Island is being told that he is ridiculous. He's being prosecuted. He's being arrested. He's being charged. He's being sent to jail just because he's trying to fight for his business. He's being made fun of on Saturday Night Live by Pete Davidson, which is like literally the biggest insult ever because, you know, while the kid makes some good movies and he's like all right and funny sometimes, he's also quite, he shouldn't be the standard bearer of what is truth and what isn't truth. Let's just put it that way. I'm trying to be nice. But what we're seeing here is that some business owners are risking jail time. Some business owners are being absolutely destroyed because they dare fight for their business. But remember in Seattle, everyone over there is at Chaz Chop. They were just living it up, man. We don't have police. We got our own taxation system over here. It is awesome. It is cool. Yeah, that's what you got. That's what you got over in Seattle. And that is just absolutely ridiculous. So when you're protesting and it's maybe attributed to something like Black Lives Matter, you get to do whatever you want. But if you want to run your business, if you want to be free in your home, if you want to be able to make money, if you don't want to be stuck in poverty, and if you're tired of hypocrisy, well, shame, shame, shame on you. We are going to public shame you because we are in a public health hazard. We are in a public health hazard. We are in the midst of a pandemic. So open up more hospital beds. Do something. Do something that works. Because when the science is there and it's telling us that shutting down outdoor dining isn't doing a darn thing, why are we doing it? And why are you okay with it? That's the bigger question. And I'm sure someone's saying, well, Michelle, I mean, I know someone who had COVID. You know what? I know tons of people who have had COVID. I know people who have been in the hospital with COVID. I know people who are in the hospital with COVID right now. And I know others who basically only had the sniffles like Governor Sisolak, and it really didn't affect their life one iota. Here's what we know. Because of science and because of advancements in medicine, we have treatments that are working faster and better than ever before. Because of science, we have only seen 260,000 deaths when we were told we would see 3-4 million of them. We were told back in March to flatten the curve for 15 days, and here we are on the very verge of being 2021, and we have still not flattened this curve. But obviously, it's restaurant owners and bars' faults. hogwash. That is absolutely ridiculous because you know what? The airline industry, guess what? I can be in an enclosed capsule on an airplane and I can eat and drink in there just fine and nothing bad's going to happen to me because guess what? I can go hang out and have a party at Home Depot or at Walmart or at Target or at Albertsons or at Smith's or at Kroger or wherever I want to go visit and it's absolutely fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And I can actually go to Disney World and have a good time, but I can't go to Disneyland because Gavin Newsom sucks. And because he's a hypocrite who likes to eat at the French Laundry and act like he's better than everybody else. I don't know why Californians elected the man, but that is a topic for another day because we got to talk about Georgia, folks. That's right. Georgia had some huge Senate debates. We're going to talk about that in the next block. And if you haven't heard, evidently I'm the first person in America to ever interview that guy from Kazakhstan who married his sex doll. That's right. I interviewed him last night. I'm going to show you part of the interview and how you can get access to the entire thing. You're going to be shocked because this man was highly political. Also, stay tuned for my next commercial break. It's going to be 60 seconds and it is worth your time. It's a commercial you've probably not seen before and it is going to make you laugh out loud. So stay tuned to watch the commercial for 60 seconds and then let's talk about Georgia. Well, I'll see you in 60.
I'm moving to the country. I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. Peaches come from a can. They were put there by a man in a factory downtown.
Oh, I've dated much worse guys than him. Much worse. I mean, at least he's famous.
I started by using the Match custom search filter. I filtered out joy, happiness, toilet paper, and reason.
Boom.
Most years I've dated are a little, I don't know, straightforward. I mean, there's a little misery, but nothing truly soul-crushing about them.
I just want to be remembered. You know, do you know the poem, The Road Less Traveled by Shakespeare? I actually have the tattoo of it.
Don't ask me where.
You devil.
Guilty. She gets me. That's the best part. You meet someone that takes time to see beneath the surface.
Of the earth. It's just a perfect match.
Save me. I've been feeling so I told you it was going to be worth it. And it was. So that is the latest commercial for Match.com. Ryan Reynolds created it. That was the second commercial you saw. You're watching parts of the first commercial right now where, you know, the devil, he's trying to look for some love on Match.com and then he gets matched with 2020 and it's just a nightmare of romance and they put a Taylor Swift's love story under it, which was totally apropos in my opinion. It's hilarious. You can check it out on YouTube. I told you it was going to be worth your time to watch that commercial because let's all really admit it right now. I do think the devil in 2020, they got together somehow and they said, let's do this, sucker. But don't you worry, my friends, because 2021 is coming and we're going to talk about this later in the next couple of days and a couple of weeks. But 2021 is going to be our year of freedom. It is going to be our year of freedom. We're going to get our freedom back and I'm super excited about it. Okay, as always, if you want to join the show, call 702-221-7283 because we're going to talk a little bit. Just a little bit about Georgia. That's why I did that song from the presidents of the United States of America, Peaches, right? Because the Peach State. Y'all following me now? Y'all catching it? I hope so. All right, so the Peach State is under fire at the moment because everybody and their brother wants to see who's going to win that Senate race. So much so that they've got really interesting commercials on there right now. In fact, they've transformed two Senate candidates into the mean old Grinch. That's right. Check out this commercial that is airing right now in Georgia.
'Twas the night before Christmas as Georgia turns blue. Most Georgians were suffering apart from these two. That is, Looting Leffler and Chicken Purdue. Their stockings were stuffed from the stocks that they sold when they heard COVID was coming before we were told. They sold shares in casinos, airlines, TJ Maxx, and invested in drugs and in medical masks. They bought stocks that would rise, sold stocks that would fall. It could be their hearts were two sizes too small. They played down the virus, said we'd all be fine, while Leffler bought a jet on the taxpayer's dime. And don't get me started on Chicken Perdue. How chicken is he? A debate he won't do. So come one, come all, let's vote by the 5th and make Warnock and Ossoff your two Senate picks. Minus Touch is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Wowzers, what a commercial. You know, many of you know I've spent my life in TV news, a little bit in politics, and part of what I did in college was I took a lot of courses on political ads and political commercials. So I kind of feel I'm a little bit of an expert on these. I've watched them all over the years. These were good commercials. I'm not going to lie. These are definitely good commercials that are going to get the message out there. But the message is that Republicans are bad, rich, awful people who hate you, and Democrats are the only good ones who are going to take care of you. Now, mind you, Democrats are also the ones who are making sure that you can't go to work, that you can't get your unemployment, that you can't get stimulus. So it's very, very confusing how they always act like, you know, it's the Republicans who are the Grinches, when literally it's Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer who are leading the way of everything that's being taken away from you and destructive in your life. But alas, we've got a lot going on in Georgia. And you know what? I don't know that those Georgia debates last night were all that good. No, I'm not quite so sure. Because in the first debate with Ossoff and Perdue, as you heard, Perdue wasn't there. Check out this video, some highlights of the Ossoff debate. I don't even want to call them highlights, but check this out.
Democrat John Ossoff, he is CEO of Insight TWI, a media production company that investigates corruption, organized crime, and war crimes for international news organizations. Republican David Perdue has served in the U.S. Senate since 2015. Before his election, he sat on the board of five major corporations and co-founded Perdue Partners, a global trading company. Senator Perdue declined to participate in this debate. Since Senator Perdue declined to participate, John Ossoff, you may now ask the question that you would have asked him and answer that question yourself. You have 90 seconds.
Senator Perdue, I suppose, doesn't feel that he can handle himself in debate, or perhaps is concerned that he may incriminate himself in debate, both of which, in my opinion, are disqualifying. I think what I would ask him is why he continues to oppose $1,200 stimulus checks for the American people at this moment of crisis, why he fought against them in the first place, and why he isn't in Washington right now championing direct financial relief, stimulus checks directly for an American people who are suffering. If I had the opportunity to ask the senator a question, if the senator were not too much of a coward to debate in public, then that's what I'd ask him.
Now, I think the optics on this are horrible. You never want to debate an empty podium. I don't really know why he chose not to be there. But at the end of the day, you gave that Ossoff guy a bully pulpit to say whatever the heck he wanted for a good hour. I'm not sure anybody like hung around and watched it because it was boring. It's all get out. Who wants to watch a debate with a man and a podium? It's pretty gosh awful. But you know what? Loeffler and Warnock both attended. Their debate wasn't much better, though. Let's do video one, which is Loeffler, just a little brief view of what Loeffler was doing in the Georgia debate last night.
Senator Loeffler, thanks for joining us. President Trump opened his election rally last night by falsely claiming he won Georgia. He didn't. According to certified state election results, he lost the state by about 12,000 votes. Do you stand by his narrative that the election was rigged, and do you support his demand that Governor Kemp to call a special session to seek to overturn those results?
Well, first, I want to thank the Atlanta Press Club for hosting this important debate. And look, it's vitally important that Georgians trust our election process. And the president has every right to every legal recourse. And that's what's taking place. But I've called for investigations. And now there's 250 investigations open here in Georgia. But the president was also clear that Georgians need to come out and vote for David Perdue and myself because of what's at stake in this election.
So interesting, right out the bat, she's like, hey, would you defend Trump? Because Trump didn't win here and blah, 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 blah. I don't think she did a great job answering the question. It's always horrible when a politician's like, oh, you asked me a question. Let me thank everybody here for, you know, letting us have a debate. It's super nice of you. It's not super nice of you. This is what TV stations do. I've worked for many TV stations over the last 20 years. This is what they live for. This is part of their job. But check out Warnock's first question. That's our next video, because it's not balanced at all.
Dr. Warnock, good evening.
Good evening.
As a pastor, there are those who are a little uncomfortable with someone switching from the pulpit to the Senate floor in Washington. If elected, how will you navigate the U.S. Constitution's edict separating church and state?
Thank you so very much. It's wonderful to be here, and I want to thank everybody who tuned in tonight. I also became aware that Senator Loeffler lost a member of her staff, and I want to extend my condolences to her and also to the family of that young man. Listen, my whole life has been about service. It is why I entered into the ministry, and I am running for the United States Senate as a continuation of that life project.
So not fair at all, the difference there. It's like, hey, some people aren't comfortable with you being a pastor, and you get to say, oh, no, this is my life's work, helping people. I'm good. She's the bad rich lady. And really, I wanted to show you another clip, but we're running out of time, and we've got a great guest we've got to bring on. But basically, when you see at the end of the day this debate, it was very rehearsed, because Loeffler is saying at the end of the day, hey, he's a socialist, he's a bad man. And Warnock's response was, well, she's a rich lady, and we hate rich people, and I'm a pastor, and I care about people. That was the overall message. And this is just a devastating, devastating thing. What I'm seeing before my eyes is Republicans telling other Republicans in Georgia, don't vote because, you know, this election was rigged and Trump didn't win here. We're going to see Ossoff and Warnock win if we don't start getting our heads out of our butts and start functioning like a healthy Republican Party. And that is the last thing on earth we want to see, is Ossoff and Warnock win, because then the Democrats have total and complete control. And guess what? The Supreme Court will never be the same. Healthcare will never be the same. Nothing will ever be the same, because Chuck Schumer let the cat out of the bag a long time ago. First, we win Georgia, and then we change America. Very, very scary. Do you want America to change? At the moment, I actually do, because I do not want to sit here and live in this communist dictator state any longer. And I know you probably feel the exact same way. All right, coming up, we are going to talk about this and so much more with our guest. Her name is Kathy Barnett. She actually ran for Congress and wrote a great book called Nothing to Lose, Everything to Gain, Being Black and Conservative in America. But first, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to listen to a little Barbie girl, because remember, later on the show, a sneak peek of my interview with the man who married his sex doll. What? In the Barbie world, life is plastic, fantastic. You can brush my hair, I'm dressy everywhere. Imagination, life is your creation.
The Nevada Wheelchair Foundation is a nonprofit organization based in Las Vegas, determined to meet the needs of any and every person who wants mobility and independence. Any child, teen, or adult who needs a wheelchair but can't afford one can get one today from the Nevada Wheelchair Foundation. The Nevada Wheelchair Foundation is meeting the needs for those who need it most. And right now, the Nevada Wheelchair Foundation needs your help. With the holidays here, they want to bless everyone they can with wheelchairs for a better life. Partner with them today to make mobility dreams come true. Donate now at wheelchairfoundation.org or call 702-848-6250. That's 702-848-6250. With almost 10,000 wheelchairs delivered across the state, the Wheelchair Foundation delivers hope, mobility, and independence. I'm just a soul whose intentions are good.
Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. I love the animals. I love these videos from the 1960s because they're just so darn weird. I love them. I love their brooding. I love it all. And I hope you do too. Remember, we're going to be talking about people who are misunderstood, like the man who married his sex doll, and liberals and their liberal privilege coming up a little bit later in the show. But first, we're going to talk with Kathy Barnett. She is a candidate for Congress in Pennsylvania's 4th District. She has written a book called Nothing to Lose, Everything to Gain, Being Black and Conservative in America. And she's going to join us here now to talk a little bit about Joe Biden's cabinet. Picks. Well, first, Kathy, thanks so much for joining us here today. Really do appreciate you giving us some of your time.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on.
Now, one of the things we've noticed with a lot of the people that President-elect Biden has been picking for his cabinet positions, it's all about diversity, diversity, diversity. It's all about women. It's all about people of certain ethnicities. I know today he named someone for a position who is the current attorney general in the state of California, who is just adamant against pro-life people and conservatives. What have you seen about these picks? Have they been about diversity or have they been more about pandering?
Yeah, you know, I was telling a friend the other day, and I actually wrote an article, or I was interviewed by the Washington Times. That article is out there right now. You can go out and look at it there at Washington Times. Just put my name in there about this very topic. You know, we've all heard about the Special Olympics. I believe we've now entered it fully into the age of the oppression Olympics, where it has nothing to do with your credentials or your credibility, but more or less what your perceived level of oppression is, right? And so as we're, you know, even before November 3rd, we were listening to Joe Biden talk about his pick for the Supreme Court, if he had an opportunity and things like that. And I think he mentioned maybe a Black woman. And then I'm thinking, well, why not a Black woman who's gay? Why not a Black woman who's gay with a limp? Why not a Black woman who's gay with a limp and a lazy eye? That's what I mean by oppression Olympics. And, you know, and maybe that scratches a political itch for some people, but our nation is about to enter into some very real and trying times, both domestically as well as geopolitically, and specifically with China. You know, so I don't know what someone's gender or someone's color is going to bring to the table when you're sitting across the table from China's president, trying to force them to take responsibility for the over 200,000 American lives that have been lost, the industries that have been destroyed, the way of life that is now up in the air for many Americans. I'm not quite sure what the color of someone's skin is going to actually bring to that particular conversation. But unfortunately, that's where we find ourselves, in the age of oppression.
We absolutely do. And I wonder as well, it seems like every single thing that Republicans do to promote diversity, every single thing Republicans do to have more inclusion is completely overlooked, like the fact that President Trump has had an all-female communications team for quite some time now. I don't know how people forgot about Sarah Sanders. I don't know how people forgot about Kayleigh McEnany, but the media falls all over itself when Biden announces female picks for his communications team. What is going on that there is such a disconnect there that the media does not recognize anything conservatives do?
Yeah, you know, I mean, and here's the other thing, whether it's, you know, dealing with COVID and getting the liberal left to acknowledge the very real and substantive work President Trump has done, or whether it's with this election process and getting the liberal media and others to acknowledge the fact that there are a number of irregularities going on. We have to stop waiting for Democrats, mainstream media and others to acknowledge us, to admit that somehow they got it wrong. They're not. We're really not going to get people who would applaud a child being murdered in their mother's womb in the ninth month of pregnancy to really stand up and have any real sense of integrity or morality. So one, we need to pivot away from that. But also, let me just put the onus back on the Republican Party, excluding President Trump, because I think President Trump has done a significant job. I mean, I've often said that he has done more specifically for the Black community than any other president has ever done, probably, you know, with the exclusion of Abraham Lincoln. But other than that, President Trump, I mean, you think of every issue the Black community specifically have brought to either side of the political aisle, President Trump address those issues meaningfully. He did not pander. He did not come and pat Black people on the head and say, they're there, you know, deal with these trinkets. But instead, he addressed each and every issue in a very meaningful way. But now, pivoting from President Trump and looking at the Republican Party, for example, there were over 30 Black Republicans who ran for the House of Representatives. And most people don't know that, because the Republican Party, apart from the president, is stuck in their old antiquated way of doing things and thinking about things. And so I believe the Republican Party in and of itself had a wonderful opportunity to put that up. You have 30 Black Republicans running for the House of Representatives. That has never happened. And yet they were completely silent about it. They did nothing to help me in my race, you know, specifically. However, pivoting away from them, President Trump has done a wonderful job, but I'm not surprised that mainstream media, Democrats and others are not acknowledging him for that. And nor am I looking for them to, you know, to pat me on the head and say, great job.
No, but I agree with you that there is some responsibility on the Republican Party, because the Republican Party, quite honestly, does not do enough to show our diversity. And we tend to be the party of the old rich white man and woman, because that's what we choose to show on a regular basis. And I don't think we ever do enough to show the amount of diversity that we have in our party. And I don't know that we do enough to celebrate it as well. That's a huge complaint I have with the NRCC and the GOP, is that they don't really do enough to help the women and the minorities who are running in office. I know they'll say they will, and they always say that they're there to do it for the ones that win and cross the finish line, but they don't necessarily fight as hard as maybe they should. We are seeing a lot of things right now in the country that are quite interesting. I don't know if you saw the news today or over the weekend, where over in San Diego, teachers there who are white are being told that they have to go and have white privilege training to teach them how they have white privilege, why they're bad, why they're racist, and how to better educate African American children. I wonder, as an African American woman, how does that make you feel?
It's enraging, is what it is. I mean, like, let's just think about it for a moment, okay? I mean, there are those, primarily white progressive women, who would have me to walk around and think that because of my Black skin, somehow I'm inferior, that somehow my Black skin has trapped me, and that their little white skin has given them privileges that my Black skin bars me from. And then they will have me to pivot and teach that slave-like mentality to my two Black children. And I have always rejected that. And I would encourage every other American, Black, white, or whomever, to also reject it. But we're going to have to stop being silent. We're going to have to stop putting our head in the sand, waiting for someone high up in the air to swoop down and save us. And we're going to have to start thinking for ourselves and rejecting it. I refuse, you know, my election, for example, is a perfect illustration of the hypocrisy of the left. I am the first Black woman, or first Black person, actually, to ever run for Congress in Montgomery County, which is the second wealthiest county in the state of Pennsylvania. No one cared about that, right? Because I'm the wrong kind of Black person. I'm not oppressed. Not only that, but if you're looking at, you know, if you're going back to my illustration of oppression Olympics, I had a very oppressed start in life. I grew up on a pig farm in Southern Alabama. I grew up in a home with no insulation, no running water, an outhouse in the back, and a well on the side. But because no one around me told me I was oppressed, because no one around me, growing up in that very dire situation, looked at me and said, you might as well not try because you're Black, I became the first in my family to go and finish college. I spent 10 years in the U.S. Army Reserves, where I was accepted into officer candidacy school, worked in financial industry, corporate America, adjunct professor, corporate finance, authored my first book, and now I'm a candidate for Congress. Then the first Black person to ever run. I am not oppressed. I am not a victim. I tell my children all the time, we are victors. I have the blood of slaves coursing through both through my veins from both sides of my family. And I reject other people trying to tell me who I am. Hence the reason why white progressives hate me. They cannot use my oppressed start in life for their virtue signaling benefit. But we're going to have to start recognizing who we are and then not be ashamed to stand up and say it. If you're white, you're white. I'm Black. I had no choice in that. I had no input in that, nor did I have an input in how my start in life was. But what I did have an input in and what I took control of is who I am today. And I have worked very hard to be able to build a life for myself and my family. And I will not allow anyone to minimize that.
All right. Well, tell us about your book, Nothing to Lose, Everything to Gain. Where can people buy it and pick it up as we've got just about a minute left in this block?
Yes. Well, my book is really a chronicle of my life. Like most Black people, I was born into the Democrat Party, just like I was born into brown skin. But eventually I grew up and put aside childish ways of thinking and behaving. It's my journey off the Democrat plantation and just kind of attacking some of these narratives that we've talked about today. You can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and anywhere books are sold to purchase a copy.
All right. Well, Kathy, thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure speaking with you, and we wish you all the best, and thank you for your service.
Thank you very much.
All right, everybody. We've got so much more to come. In fact, did you know cancel culture is now coming after Wheel of Fortune's Pat Sajak? It's happening. It's happening. Plus, Sarah Silverman admits to everyone what we already knew. There's something called liberal privilege, and it sucks. What is President Barack Obama's biggest regret? And my huge interview with the guy who married a sex doll. The only person in America who's done this one. That is all coming up in the next block as we pay tribute to Squiggy from Laverne and Shirley, who sadly passed away this weekend. We'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Wondering if now is the time to buy or sell a home, or is a market crash on the way? At Home, a real estate company, John Kennedy and his team will make sure you have all the information you need to make an informed decision. Home is where the heart is, and John Kennedy and his team are ready to lead you home. Give them a call today at 702-640-0101 or visit them at homerealestatecompany.com.
Ladylikeclothing.com is a Las Vegas locally owned women's boutique created to cater to women who want to look their best without compromising comfort and quality. Ladylikeclothing.com focuses on contemporary, well-designed looks with classic feminine styling. Ladylike Clothing wants to help you build a wardrobe you'll love with beautiful, functional pieces that are never overdone and always ladylike. Shop online today at ladylikeclothing.com.
Looking to sell or buy a home? There's no one better than your Las Vegas neighborhood realtors, Melissa White Simmons and Tim Eaton of Urban Nest Realty. Melissa and Tim will meet your every need and go the extra mile to make sure you find the perfect house to call home. With Team Melissa White at Urban Nest Realty, you'll be taken care of every step of the way. Call Melissa and Tim today at 702-757-8605. That's 702-757-8605. License number 179020.
Hi, this is Michelle Mortensen, and if you know me, you know I support our veterans. And that's why I want to tell you about my good friends at Therapy Blocks LLC, our newest sponsor of the show. Therapy Blocks LLC is veteran-owned and operated, and many of their therapists are veterans themselves or active National Guard members. Therapy Blocks LLC is a pediatric physical, occupational, and speech therapy rehab outpatient clinic that also offers home visits and telehealth services for special needs children up to age 18. Therapy Blocks LLC follows all CDC guidelines to ensure the health and wellness of their clients and their families. They're located in the Southern Hills Hospital Medical Building on Sunset Road. Give our friends at Therapy Blocks LLC a call today at 702-419-8120. That number again, 702-419-8120. And tell them you learn about Therapy Blocks LLC right here on the Michelle Mortensen Show.
A group of pill pushers?
Classic Wheel of Fortune bloopers. You gotta love it. People don't ever know what to say. They say the weirdest things on the show. And most people love it because Pat Sajak is always a little feisty. Well, that is until 2020 when America has decided to go completely and utterly stark raving mad. And guess what? They're mad at Pat Sajak. They want to cancel Pat Sajak because they think he's being testy with the contestants. Watch what's got them all up in arms. Do we have those clips ready? Yeah, here we go.
Don't you
one.
Do I want my phone?
You got the puzzle. Ungrateful players I've had.
One H. Pick up that gift tag, would you please? That's $1,000 gift certificate to Dick's Sporting Goods for online catalog or in store shopping.
Can I buy a vowel, please?
Never interrupt.
Sorry.
Never interrupt.
I apologize.
Anything else, but don't interrupt.
So he says, don't interrupt a plug and don't be ungrateful. You won the prize. And people say, oh, Pat Sajak hates his job. We need to get rid of Pat Sajak. Pat Sajak's the worst. It's ridiculous. I am tired of liberals. I'm tired of their cancel culture ways. I'm tired of it all. And you know what? The liberal left, the intolerant liberal left, they're finally admitting their flaws, because Sarah Silverman, in a podcast interview earlier this week, admitted that she gets away with making offensive jokes because audiences know that she's liberal. Check out some of the things that Sarah Silverman has done.
Oh my God, Eugene, I am so sorry. You were right. It's so much harder to be black than it is to be Jewish. I'd kill myself if I were black.
How'd you do it? You're good to go.
I look like the beautiful Queen Latifah.
Expected. How?
Hitler, thank you so much for stopping by tonight. And might I add, you're the worst.
I know.
Okay, so Sarah Silverman can do blackface. She can pretend that she's Hitler. And everybody says it's totally okay because she's liberal and that we know that it's a joke. So what you're saying is, if you're a conservative, it's not a joke. Because you know that Roseanne Barr got her entire show taken away from her from something that people thought was offensive that she tweeted. I don't even remember what she tweeted anymore. But that type of logic is saying that conservatives, when they joke, it's not a joke. It's all true. So they can't get away with it. This is liberal hypocrisy. This is liberal privilege, and it absolutely sucks. Will Arnett, also in that same podcast, said that it's conservatives who've killed comedy. Let me tell you, it ain't the conservatives who've killed comedy, not one iota. It's freaking liberals and their cancel culture who can't take a freaking joke. It's the snowflakes of the world. And other what the what news, get this, J-Lo. We all know J-Lo, right? She's real pretty. She's like 50-something years old. She looks fabulous, and she has come out and said, you know what? I don't get Botox. I've never had Botox in my life. In fact, she does this whole Twitter video where she's like, look, I don't have any makeup on and I'm absolutely gorgeous. And oh, I've got my own beauty line. Buy my products. It's going to be awesome. You'll look exactly like me if you use my olive oil face cream. No, not true. Just like it's not true that she hasn't had any Botox. Because girl, she had some. She had some. And we all know it. From that girl to our favorite girl, Dolly Parton. Why is Barack Obama talking about Dolly Parton? Well, evidently, Barack Obama, one of his biggest regrets during his presidency was not giving Dolly Parton the Presidential Medal of Freedom. I'm sad that that's your biggest regret, Obama, because I think lying to everyone was probably a bigger regret. But alas, I think President Trump should rectify this right now and do what Obama probably should have. And let's give Dolly Parton that Presidential Medal of Freedom, because gosh, you know, she deserves it. She's freaking delightful. You know who else was somewhat delightful and a bit of a surprise? It was Yuri, the man who married his sex doll. Yes, I interviewed him. I just reached out and said, hey, I got questions. I want to know. I am going to reveal the entire hour-long video, which is very, very interesting because it's very political. He is a very politically minded man. It's all about human rights, women's rights, men's rights, transgendered rights, animal rights. Wow, he unpacked it all with me, but I'm showing you just a bit of it. If you want to see the whole enchilada, you're going to have to subscribe to my channel because only subscribers are going to get it. But this was part of our talk last night. And it's not playing. I don't know why. Oh, my Lanta, we can't have this happen to the one thing that I've teased all show. Spence and I are not in the same room today. That's making it probably a little bit more difficult. And it's not playing, and I don't know why. All right, Spence, let me know when you get that up here. We've got about 7 minutes left in the show, and it's about a 2-minute and 30-second clip that I want to share with you. I learned some very interesting information about he and Margot and the life that they lead and why. We spent about an hour online together. Maybe we've got it ready to go now. I'm not quite sure. Yes. All right. Let's hear.
She's a little broken.
What does that mean?
Yes, she's a little broken. And they are fixing her up in another city.
Okay, she's getting repaired.
Yes.
How did she break?
Look, what?
How did she break?
Arm and inside.
Her arm and how she functions this, inside.
And inside, yes. Corpus.
I see. So if Margot was home, where would Margot be?
Your place?
So at your place. At your place. So if you're you and Margot were together right now, would y'all be watching TV? Would you be eating dinner? Would she be your breakfast? Because it's morning where you are right now. Would you be eating breakfast? Or does she hang out?
We no. usually
I mean, it's a fair question.
Usually she don't eat, drink and go to toilet. And I'm it's comfortable for me. it's a joke.
Now I've been going through your Instagram page because you said I should go there and learn more about you and the relationship. And I noticed in one post you referred to this as hype art. Is what you're doing a form of hype art? Is this more of a statement? Is this more of something to get attention, or is this real? So he answers that question for me and so much more, whether this is hype, whether this is real. He actually told me a great deal about why everything he does is fighting for the rights of women, fighting for the rights of men, fighting for the rights of animals, because in Kazakhstan, I guess there are no animal rights. And he did this specifically to really highlight something about the rights that men don't have. I was very taken aback by that, very confused by that. But it's a very interesting interview, and I learned a great deal about him. I'm really the only person in America who's had a chance to talk to this guy. He also has another alter ego, a woman named Amanda. He becomes Amanda, and Amanda is the one who fights for women's rights. You've got to check this video out. If you want to see it, though, only subscribers are going to get access to it. So you're going to have to go to my website, michellemortensen.com, and subscribe today so you can see the whole hour-long video. It's pretty darn amazing. It's eye-opening, and, well, gosh darn it, it's enlightening. And he sent me a message last night in Russian that I was able to translate to better explain what his belief system is and why he is fighting for men's rights. You're going to get all of that in the exclusive interview, michellemortensen.com. Subscribe and donate today so you can get access to this video. And I'm really the only person in America who has it. And I know you want to know because y'all like Jerry Springer too. You don't like to admit it, but I know you do. All right. I could not do this show without Spencer, without Lauren, without Justin, and the team at KSHP. We are just so blessed to work together. Thanks for everyone giving me a little space today. Wouldn't you know, I'd come down with pink eye in both eyes. It's a fun day. It's a fun day. And that means we need to have a little bit of fun right now with Christmas karaoke. As you know, here on the show, we like to end with a little bit of Christmas karaoke, and I'm doing my favorite Christmas song of all time. It is Run DMC's Christmas in Hollis. There is no better Christmas song. Enjoy, my friends. And I will see you back here on Monday when we have a fantastic show. We're going to talk about the Republican Party and the MAGA Party. Should they separate? Should we no longer have a two-party system? Plus, we're going to talk about the LGBTQ community here in the Republican Party when I have David, the gay Republican, joining me. And we're going to talk about that as well. Big, big show. Looking forward to it. Thanks, as always, for tuning in. Yeah.
see the man chilling with his dog at the park. I approached him very slowly with my heart full of fear. Looked at his dog, oh my God, an ill reindeer. My man, I was feeling good. The man had a beard and a bag full of Billy 12 o'clock at night. So I turned my head a second and the man was gone. But he must have dropped his wallet back dead on the lawn. I picked the wallet up and then I took a pause. Took out the lights and then it called, said Santa Claus. $1 million in it, called hundreds of G's. Enough to buy a boat, magic car with ease. But I never feel for Santa, but that ain't right. So I was going on the mailer back to him that night. But when I got home, I thought, cause under the tree was a letter from Santa and the door was to me. It's Christmas time in Hollis, Queens. Mom's cooking chicken and collard greens. Rice and stuffing macaroni and cheese. And Santa put gifts under Christmas trees. Decorate the house with lights at night. Snow's on the ground, snow white so bright. In the fireplace is the Yule log. Beneath the mistletoe as we drink eggnog. The rhymes that you hear are the rhymes of carols. Like each and every year we bust Christmas, Christmas carols.
Yo, come on, let's chat. You ain't just the man from last night? Santa? Macy's?
Yo, man, let's go eat, man. I'm hungry.
Come on, man. Yo.
Run so loud and proud to hear it. It's Christmas time and we got the spirit. Jackpot chilling, the hawk is out. And that's what Christmas is all about. The time is now, the place is here. And the whole wide world is filled with cheer. My name's DMC